coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. We've got a really bizarre, weird, awesome, incredibly fantastic show today. I know, that's a lot of adjectives. How am I ever going to live up to it? Don't be surprised if we throw you a couple of curveballs this week on the Home Defense Show, because we are interviewing a man from the Upper Peninsula. And the Upper Peninsula is full of really special, special people. His name is Brian Anderson, a.k.a., also known as the Tick Terminator. If you got a minute right now while you're listening, go to thetickterminator.com and you can check out Brian. He's going to tell us all about how we can protect our families against the giant, deadly Sasquatch ticks. Yeah, I know, they don't exist, but come on, work with me on this, right? You're going to love this interview. This guy is awesome. What have I been doing? You know, it is the height of morel mushroom season. I mean, granted, May is Lyme Disease Awareness Month, but it's also morel mushroom hunting month. And for me, oh, wow, that is just awesome. I was out yesterday. I got 5 pounds of nice, big white morels, Morchella esculenta. Next week on the Home Defense Show, we're going to be doing a special, a fungus special. There is a fungus among us, and he is I. We're going to be talking all about how to find these morel mushrooms, where to find them, how to look, all the different kinds, what's poisonous, what's not poisonous. We will have a special expert guest, and I'm not going to tell you who he is, okay? But this guy is awesome. You're going to love the show next week. What else am I doing? Well, I'm going to my karate classes with my two little munchkins. I recently tested. I'm now a yellow stripe belt, which means basically I can throw a punch without pulling a muscle or, throwing my shoulder out of joint. But hey, I'm going to work on that. I got to get my open-handed skills where they belong. So I'm having a great time with that, doing that with my 9-year-old Phoenix and 13-year-old Cedar. Awesome, awesome kids. Don't forget, coming up on May 25 at Center Shot Indoor Gun Range, we've got the big book signing. Myself, Colonel Denny Gillum from Frontlines of Freedom, and Rick Weiss from the Flowerland Garden Radio Show. All of us will be selling our books there, and I'll have my brand new book there, Concealed Carry for Christians. I love that book. I'm real happy about it. Maybe I'll read you a little bit in segment 4 if we have time. But for right now, let's get down to the news. All right, I've got this editorial I got from Gabe Suarez. Remember Gabe from Suarez International down there in Prescott, Arizona? He's talking about Venezuela. You know, all the bad things happening down in Venezuela. Basically, it's mob rule down there. There's a civil war going on, and everything's going to hell in a handbasket. It says, Venezuela, pay attention, Americans. I remember Venezuela when it was one of the most prosperous countries in South America. Its demise began with Chavez, an avowed anti-American communist, and it has continued on the downward spiral common for communist nations. It is likely a matter of a few weeks before the cancer of communism is removed by force of a civil war there with a multitude of lost lives. That is always how it goes. Communism is brought in by the naive and the impressionable, as well as the lazy and the freeloaders of the world with their hate of those more clever and more hardworking than they are. It is all very interesting, the actual value of mob democracy, when the masses can all decide unanimously to bring in the mechanism of their country's own demise. It is one thing to be invaded and subjugated by an outside and unwelcome force, but quite another to do it to yourself. We may feel sorry for the victim that is thrown off a cliff by an assailant, but what can we say of someone that jumps off on their own volition? Perhaps democracy is a bad idea if 51% of a nation can elect a path such as this, and if so, perhaps the 49% should simply say no in a forceful and threatening way, regardless of the legalities of doing so. That would be preferable to the eventual fruit of communism. And perhaps some people should not be allowed to vote. There's an interesting idea. Stupid communist Americans, this is the fruit of communism, and this is the end result of implementation. On a selfish note, the Venezuelan Civil War to oust communism could not have come at a better time for Americans as 2020 nears. Now that's an interesting opinion. You know, think about that for a second, folks. What is democracy? Democratic rule basically means the majority rules, right? America doesn't have a democracy. We have a constitutional republic, okay? We have the founder set us up with a constitution that says, here's the rules book. Here's what the government can and can't do. And we have to abide by that. You elect officials to represent you. That's a constitutional republic. It was never meant to be democracy. Never. But most people say, oh, America is a democracy. No, that's not a democracy. Think about it for a second. Here's a democracy. You've got four people. Three are men. One is a woman. The three men vote to rape the woman. She has no say in the matter because it's legal for the three men to rape her or to do whatever they want to her. I mean, wasn't that the way it was in the South with slavery? The slaves didn't have a say. When the wolf eats the sheep doesn't have a say in the matter. So do you really want majority rule? I know I don't, but you know, that's the way this country is heading. It's a slippery slope down into socialism. Right now, all these socialists, millennials, they're talking about getting rid of the Electoral College. If you do that, it's going to be terrible. It will be communism, socialism, taking over the country, and you won't like it. It'll be Venezuela all over again. Might be a good time to stock up on some firearms and some ammunition and some training, folks. Okay, because if the 51% get their way, you and I will be serfs of the state. And I, for one, will not stand for that. I wish I had better news, but I just don't. So, let's go ahead and take a 2-minute break here. We're out of time for this segment, and I want to get right down to this thing with Brian Anderson, a.k.a. the Tick Terminator, from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We got a 2-minute break. While we are away, go ahead and check out theTickTerminator.com. And then also check out our sponsors, FarmsLegal.com/MidwestTactical. See what they can do to protect your family should you ever make a questionable call and have to defend yourself in court. Also check out Center Shot Indoor Gun Range, CenterShotGunRange.com. And don't forget the big book signing, the big event, Patriots Day at Center Shot Gun Range in Door, Michigan. On May 25 from noon to 4, I will be there signing my books along with Denny Gillum and Rick Weiss. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is C.J. Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coryell, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coryell. Would you like to take your tactical and marksmanship training to the next level? If the answer is yes, you need to check out Center Shot Indoor Gun Range just south of Grand Rapids, conveniently located off US 131. Center Shot is one of the most advanced firing ranges in Michigan. Center Shot firing lanes have nearly 100 customizable shooting programs to make you better no matter what your skill level. Our advanced lanes allow a more immersive training experience to enhance your senses. Controlled lighting and target movement mean that you get the best practice and most fun out of Center Shot Indoor Gun Range. Memberships are available for as low as $150. Center Shot also offers a 10% discount to U.S. military veterans. So, no matter what the weather, hot, cold, or in between, Center Shot Indoor Gun Range is always a perfect 70 degrees. This is where I train every week, and so should you. Find out more by going to CenterShotGunRange.com or call them at 616-371-7468. Stay safe, and I'll see you at Center Shot Indoor Gun Range.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coryell, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coryell. Today, we have a special treat. A great northern, icy cold, year-round winter treat from the upper peninsula of the cold, dark, frozen north of Michigan. Brian Anderson, a.k.a. the Tick Terminator, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Well, thanks for having me, Skip. That's quite an introduction there. I mean, the snow is gone now, finally.
Really?
It left just a couple weeks ago. We had a lot in our area. Past winter, we had up to 3 feet. That's more than we normally have, but parts of the UP really, really get hammered.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, a lot sometimes. Wow.
So what is the temperature there right now?
It's probably going to be in the 40s, but hopefully we're going to hit 60s next week and be kind of like regular people, you know.
That's right.
I'll look at the thermometer right now as we speak. Oh yeah, it's 40. I was right.
Oh god, so, you guys are like half penguin up there.
Well, yeah, I don't know, but probably close to that, yeah. So we're happy. I mean, Upers really know how to enjoy 70 degrees. Let me tell you, everybody comes out. You just walk. You just want to be outside, you know.
Oh yeah. Well, and 70 degrees in the UP, that. What, like 2-3 days of the year you get up that high?
Yeah, we joke about that, you know. Last summer, we had it on like 3 days, you know, where it was 70 or more. So
yeah, you go on vacation, you know, and you miss summer. So
yeah, you don't want to do that.
Well, so. All right, Brian, you are also known as the Tick Terminator of the Great Frozen
Correct.
North. So. Tell me, how did you get the nickname, the Tick Terminator?
Well, I've had a long fascination with ticks.
Stop, Brian. You have to understand that last sentence. I've had a long fascination with ticks. You understand that doesn't sound normal to the average person, right?
Well, I'm not normal to the average person either.
Okay. You're in the Upper Peninsula, and you're fascinated with ticks. All right. Someone call Pine Rest. All right, here we go. Brian, sorry for interrupting there. I couldn't let that one go. So you're fascinated with ticks. Talk about that.
Yeah, actually, I have a little tick toy. It's probably about 6-8 inches long, and it's a little fuzzy thing I use when I do presentations. And it's pretty funny. There's very few people anyways that have that.
Like a stuffed animal?
Yes, exactly like a stuffed animal. It's a stuffed tick. I couldn't believe when I found this last winter, I said, I got to have one of those. So it's good for demonstration purpose when I'm speaking. So,
where did you get this stuffed tick? Because maybe I want to get one too.
I can tell you here. I'm trying to think of where it was. Actually, I've saved it in favorites here, so when I want to buy more.
Okay.
But I can tell you later about where
yeah,
I got
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead. Send the link to me later. By the way, okay. Brian, I got the Tick Terminator T-shirt, the lime green Tick Terminator T-shirt that you sent me. I appreciate that very much. I wear it all the time. You know, every time I want to wear something lime green, that's what I put on because pretty much that's the only lime green. Now, is that a play on words, lime green and Lyme disease? Is that why you chose that color?
Yeah, because lime green is kind of like the color for Lyme disease awareness.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Really?
I'm always learning.
And they will kind of kid, you know, Lyme disease is not any joking matter, but they will sometimes actually give away a lime, the fruit, sometimes
cool.
for a little, you know, like a little prize, you know, during a Lyme conference, possibly, just to kind of the play on words, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it's actually Lyme. The way that the word came from is actually Lyme, Connecticut, where Lyme was first kind of discovered in the mid 70s. So that's where the word Lyme actually comes from.
Hmm.
Not fruit.
Yeah.
So.
And that's L-Y-M-E.
But anyway, yeah, L-Y-M-E. Correct.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Continue. Continue on, Brian.
Well, I got the nickname of the Tick Terminator because I'm trying to terminate ticks, terminate, well, sounds a little better than killing, you know, I mean, I know we're both hunters too. So I wanted to make it, if you want to say, a little more politically palatable, even though I hate political correctness.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it like that, and the Tick Terminator really stuck. So that's actually the name of my website now, too. TheTickTerminator.com.
Awesome.
Which is much easier to remember than my previous name, the Lyme Tick Bug Hub. So TheTickTerminator.com is really good. So now when I wear the shirt, you know, you can just say, hey, that's the website too. You know, look them up and the crazy guy's there.
So, well, you know,
kind of how it started.
When I hear the name Tick Terminator, I just get this vision of Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know. And
When you Google it, the Terminator does come up, though, but if you have to look down a little bit and Google, you will see me. But there is a Tick Terminator is one term. I am the Tick Terminator, and I own that name.
Oh,
so
dude.
Is
that like a trademark or something you had to get?
It's the name of my business. It's on my business card. I mean, of course, on my business card, but it's actually on my credit card. It says the Tick Terminator LLC. Yeah, it's my official business name. Might as well go all out. You know, if you're gonna go big. You know,
that,
what I mean?
That's right. I mean, you're from the UP. They expect you to be strange, anyways. So you might as well milk it for all it's worth, Brian. All right. So it was kind of like a self-imposed name, the Tick Terminator, and it just stuck to you. Yep. That was a pun.
Oh, yeah. People really like it.
Yeah.
They get a big kick out of it.
All right.
Of course. Cause it's easy to remember, straight right to the point, you know, nobody has told me that's a dumb name. So
no,
I'm happy
it's
with
a
that.
Great name. And it's, you know, I'm an English major and author. So, you know, the alliteration, the Tick Terminator, I mean, that just, it's like it spews out of your mouth when you say it and just hangs on your ear. Tick Terminator. I love that. I love that a lot. So, Brian, tell people, what do you do? What's a Tick Terminator do?
The big thing that I try to do is bring awareness to people that there is a way to prevent ticks from getting on you, okay? My whole point is if you keep the ticks off, you can't get bit. If you can't get bit, you can't get Lyme.
Right.
That's my whole premise of doing all this. I had a friend almost die from this, a Lyme disease, a couple of years ago, which really motivated me to really pursue this and even further, because I had been doing experiments on ticks in the basement just for fun, just to kind of see what they like and don't like and all this kind of stuff. But,
Brian, hold it now. You experiment on ticks in your basement in the Upper
with
Peninsula.
With
your grandkids.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to learn. I was trying to learn about them, you know.
Yeah.
What they liked and what they didn't like, the smells they didn't like, you know, like they don't like essential oils, peppermint, lemon, eucalyptus, vinegar, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't like citrus either. Here's a funny story, Skip. This is true.
Okay.
I was doing a segment with a outdoors magazine, outdoor TV show, and when I said they don't like citrus, the guy says, "You've got to be kidding me. They don't like citrus?" He just lit up, and I could see the light bulb pop on above his head. He says, "Brian, I literally drink 6 bottles of Sun Drop soda a day, which is a citrus, you know, lime drink."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Man, oh, man, you must have that stuff coming out of your pores." He says, "I never get ticks, ever."
Really?
They must smell it. They must smell it on this guy. And I said, "Well, hey, I really don't endorse drinking 6 bottles of Sun Drop a day." But for this guy, I swear it worked, you know?
Yeah, well,
he never gets ticks.
There's always an upside and a downside. The upside, he'll never get ticks. The downside, he probably has, diabetes.
I don't know, you know? So it just that's how the story went, you know?
Okay.
So those are things that... The smells they don't like. What they do like is moisture and warm-blooded mammals, you know, sweaty smells that remind them of a mammal of us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And CO2, dry ice, is something that's a solid version of what we breathe out, you know.
Okay.
Anything for a tick to be reminded of a blood host, because that's what they're thinking. That's their life, is to suck blood. They only do it once a year.
Yeah.
And they only live about 3 years, but that's kind of the long and the short of it right there.
How do we know they only live 3 years? Did we took one captive and then just waited for it to die, or how does that work?
Yeah, essentially the life cycle of a tick is this: they're born about now, maybe another month or so, and they're born in an egg. So they hatch out of the egg in later summer. And now they're in their first stage. It's called a larva stage.
Uh-huh.
Larva stage. And what they do is they look for their first blood host then, after several weeks of being out. And they're actually born about 1,000 to 3,000 at a time, which is too bad, but that's how it is.
Yeah, that's not fair. That's not fair, Brian.
I know it's not fair. But anyways, what happens is they start looking for their first blood host, and typically their first host is going to be a white-footed mouse.
Huh.
Because it's so close to the ground, and they're so close to the ground, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they hop on the white-footed mouse. They start sucking the blood out of the white-footed mouse, and that is where they get the pathogens or the germs from the mouse is what gives them Lyme. They're not born with it. They get it from their first host.
So they're a victim. These ticks are victims.
Yeah, poor little ticks, right?
Yes, right.
So that's what happens. They fall off after a few days. And then they do whatever ticks do until the fall. You know, just kind of hang around and do nothing because they're all fat and sassy and full of blood, you know?
They're on their electronic devices, probably reading Kindle or something like that.
Yeah, probably. Or reading your books, right?
So, okay.
But anyways, so then they go through the winter. They wake up the next spring, and they're the size of a poppy seed. Now, there's one of the dangerous ones right there, that size, because if they got Lyme then their first summer, they have it for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And now they are just as lethal as a nymph tick as they are as an adult-sized tick.
Hmm.
So the ones that you can't hardly see are just as dangerous as the ones that you barely can see.
Wow.
So that's what I tell people, because the product that I use, permethrin, which I'll talk about in a minute, is so effective on the smaller the ticks, the better, because it really affects them. Anyways, the life cycle goes on, so they look for the next blood host the next summer, and then that fall they morph into the final stage, which is an adult stage. They wake up the next summer again. In the adult stage, they typically will get on a deer because at that time they're bigger. They mate on the deer. Then the next spring, the male gets off, he dies. The female gets off, gives birth, and she dies. And that's, you know, like about 3 years, and that's the life cycle of a tick.
Wow. So, you know, that's just, there's not a whole lot to look forward to if you're a tick. That just doesn't sound glamorous to me. 3 years and you're done.
That's right. And I wish it was 3 weeks, but it's only 3 years.
Yes, you know? That's right. Well, you know.
I mean, here's an interesting fact I just got to tell you that every year I have something new here. But just a couple things I really want to say here is that the CDC estimates, the Center for Disease Control, estimates that there's about 300,000 new people diagnosed with Lyme each year.
Wow.
To put that in perspective, that's 1.5 times the number of women diagnosed with breast cancer and 6 times the number of people diagnosed with HIV/AIDS here in the United States.
Wow.
So New England, you know, Upper East Coast, New England, during the last 25 years, they've had a 300% increase in Lyme cases. And here in the Midwest, we've had a 250% increase. So Houston, there's a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Well, forgive the pun here. Sometimes I just go crazy with a pun. So you're saying that there's an uptick in Lyme disease?
Yep.
Okay.
And you're talking to a guy who loves to write. I wrote a poem about this even.
Oh gosh. Tell us the poem. What's the poem, Brian?
There's no other poem like this in the world.
I believe you. I believe you right out of the box.
Here it is. I hate those little suckers. I want to terminate them all. So I do it with permethrin and love to watch them fall. From head to toe, I spray this stuff, my shoes, socks, clothes, and hats, because it works on more than ticks, like skeeters, chiggers, and even gnats. So I ask you, if you're listening, to keep away from Lyme. Get started with permethrin, and now is the perfect time. Only from the Tick Terminator.
You're right. Only from the Tick Terminator. You know, you should publish that. Maybe little certificates that can hang on the wall, you know, with your poem.
Something like that.
I like it, Brian. We are speaking with Brian Anderson from the Upper Peninsula, a.k.a. the Tick Terminator, knows all things about ticks. Brian, we're out of time for this segment, but when we come back, I want to talk more about tick termination, how we can, you know, get rid of these little buggers. So we're going to take a 2-minute break, Brian. When we come back, we'll be talking more with Brian Anderson, the Tick Terminator. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is Phoenix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit FirearmsLegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect your family now.
Would you like to take your tactical and marksmanship training to the next level? If the answer is yes, you need to check out Center Shot Indoor Gun Range just south of Grand Rapids, conveniently located off US 131. Center Shot is one of the most advanced firing ranges in Michigan. Center Shot firing lanes have nearly 100 customizable shooting programs to make you better no matter what your skill level. Our advanced lanes allow a more immersive training experience to enhance your senses. Controlled lighting and target movement mean that you get the best practice and most fun out of Center Shot Indoor Gun Range. Memberships are available for as low as $150. Center Shot also offers a 10% discount to U.S. military veterans. So, no matter what the weather, hot, cold, or in between, Center Shot Indoor Gun Range is always a perfect 70 degrees. This is where I train every week, and so should you. Find out more by going to CenterShotGunRange.com or call them at 616-371-7468. Stay safe, and I'll see you at Center Shot Indoor Gun Range. Hey folks, I want to tell you about my new book, Concealed Carry for Christians. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and your family, and that includes people of faith. Our churches are not as safe as they used to be, and that's why I included chapters on forming church safety teams and stopping mass shooters. You can get Concealed Carry for Christians real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Concealed Carry for Christians, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Concealed Carry for Christians by yours truly, Skip Coriel. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Today, we are learning how to protect our family not against bullets, not against crime, but against ticks, the evil, vile, nasty, disgusting little tick. Now, Brian, how many kinds of ticks are there?
There's actually about 850 species worldwide.
Wow.
Which is a whole bunch. I don't know why God created so many ticks, but I guess they're... They're part of the food chain,
yeah.
You know. But there's about 850. Typically around our area here in Michigan, Wisconsin, Midwest, there's about three of them. Mm-hmm. All right. One of them is called the brown dog tick, which is typically what we call the wood tick. There's also one called the Lone Star tick. It has little dots on its back. But the worst one of all is called the black-legged tick, which is referred to as the deer tick.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the deer tick is the only tick in the states here that carries Lyme disease. Ticks do carry other diseases too, but Lyme disease is the worst because it can just be so debilitating to somebody. That was part of my motivation of doing this was I had a friend that was so sick with it,
mm-hmm.
and it's really bad. So those are the worst ones.
Yeah.
I was a speaker here just a couple of weeks ago at a loggers conference in Green Bay, just south of us here, about 350 loggers that day. And I couldn't believe how many of them had already had Lyme.
Wow.
But I mean, think about it. Where do loggers work? I mean, they work in the backyard of a tick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're right.
So they were the perfect audience for me speaking to them. And we brought some product down there, and we sold out of all of it. And we've had orders since. And I can't blame them. You know, they want to do anything they can to protect themselves.
Yeah.
To get it.
Oh, Brian, tell me about this product. It's called Permethrin.
Permethrin. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very unique. It was developed in about 73. For the next couple of decades, it was mostly used on a lot of different things. I mean, let's say some people use it for agricultural purposes, protecting crops from insects. It all depends on how it's formulated.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's used for killing parasites on livestock, treatment for scabies and lice on humans. Our military, the U.S. and the British military, have both been using it for several decades, even before it kind of became available for us civilians, if you will, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only been the last 15-plus years.
Hmm.
So
well,
the permethrin, it's the way it's mixed.
Okay.
And the way it's developed, that it can have different uses. I'm only talking about the ones for a human, you know, like, let's say if you're going to your cottage or your camp up north, or you're going on mushroom hunting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Think about the kids going to camp, all right? They're probably going to go up north someplace. The permethrin I use, actually, I've used everything, and I've finally honed in on one product that I was all excited about last fall. I'm thinking this, I finally found it's a concentrate. It's on my website, theticterminator.com. It's called Duration. It's a concentrate that you basically mix with water. Anytime you mix something with water, you're saving money.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing about this it's the only one that's EPA registered in the United States as a concentrate. Everything else, it's not. I mean, this is for the regular civilians like us to use. So they can mix it. Let's say a mother can mix it for her kids to spray her clothes, the kids for the clothes, whatever, you know what I mean?
You don't put it in chocolate milk or anything like that?
No. You spray it in a plastic bottle. You mix it in a plastic bottle, a 32-ounce plastic bottle, and I even have a video on my website about that too. So they spray it on the clothes, let them dry overnight, and depending on the mixture that they use, they could put 1 ounce in a 32-ounce bottle of water, and when they spray that mixture, it would last for 3 weeks and three washings.
Wow.
Okay. This stuff goes through the washing machine too, which is really nice. Most all repellents you have to spray daily.
Mm-hmm.
This here, it adheres to the fabric in a very unique way that it can last for quite a while. Here's a cool thing, Skip. Is this product that I'm using, you decide how long you want the protection to last. So let's say mom wants to protect the kids for a week, so she used the smallest, you know, percentage at 1 ounce for in a 32-ounce bottle. Now let's say you want to last for 6 weeks or six washings, then you can put 2 ounces in a bottle. Mm-hmm. Let's say you want it for 12 weeks and 12 washings, 3 months, and you would put 4 ounces in a plastic, you know, in a 32-ounce bottle. Let's say you want it for 6 months, 24 weeks and 24 washings, you would put 8 ounces in there.
Hmm. So
that's the cool thing about it.
What are the side effects? Do you, like, a third eye in the middle of your forehead starts to grow, or is it like Agent Orange? Any danger here?
No. They haven't had any danger with it. It's so low, you know, you can barely call it toxic because it's so low in any kind of a scale like that. There's been no reports of anybody having, I mean, because it dries in your clothes,
mm-hmm.
All right? You don't put it on your undergarments other than maybe your socks, and that would be about it. It's for your outer shell.
Yeah.
Of your body.
Well,
yeah, there are no side effects.
Brian?
You don't want to put it on cats and stuff like that, and aquatic animals. But, yeah, for humans, it's done very, I mean, our military uses even a stronger dosage than that on their clothes.
Well, military, they're tough guys, right? So
you bet. You know what, Marine?
That's right. Well, Brian, you don't know this, but I wanted to test this stuff before I talked to you on the air. So I went online and I ordered a bottle of it. And, you know, because you know that I'm just a fanatical, avid morel mushroom hunter. And
I know.
And that just, you know, I can't tell you. Ticks are the bane of my life when I'm out there mushroom hunting because it's like they're kamikaze ticks. They're diving down out of the trees. They're landing on me. And, boy, I went out the first time, you know, about a week ago, and I had, I come out of there, and I was with a friend of mine, Phil Walsh. You remember Phil? We were both out hunting, and both of us had about 10 ticks on our bodies. And, you know, none of them had latched on yet, but, you know, we got them all off and it was okay. But then the next time I went out, I used this permethrin and I sprayed it on my, you know, my pant legs and on my shirt.
Yep.
And I wore a stocking hat that was treated in it. And I was out for about 3 hours. And when I mushroom hunt, I'm going through clear cuts and I'm underneath briars and vines and stuff like that. So I'm really getting into it, right? And I come out of there and I inspected myself and I had one tick on me as opposed to 10, but it was right at my waistline, my belt line, where I hadn't treated it at all. And I thought, well, now that's interesting. And the next time I went out, I did the same thing, but this time I treated the you know, my waistline as well. And I come out of there, and I didn't have any ticks on me whatsoever. And it's the same area, the exact same area, you know, like 2 days later. And the day after that, I went out with my three little kids. I've got an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, and a 13-year-old, and my wife. And I treated everyone with permethrin. And we did not have five people for 3 hours. We did not have one single tick. And that's incredible. So I am sold on permethrin. I really am, Brian.
That is great. Yeah. I love hearing stories like that. That's pretty common to hear stories like that. And it's nice to hear it from you even too. That's for sure.
Well, hey, if it works, you know, it works. And, you know, I don't want to tell people about something, you know, if it doesn't work, but tell us more about the permethrin that you have on your website, how people can get it, how much does it cost, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, it's on the website, several different places there. It's $34.95 for an 8-ounce bottle. Now, that sounds like a lot, but when you compare this to what you can maybe get in the store, you're really saving money. I mean, it's almost half. Because that concentrate can go so far, and you can do so many bottles with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes a long ways.
Well,
there's other couple of products too.
Yeah, well, if you mix it up 1 ounce to, 32 ounces, you said? So that's like 8 quarts of permethrin. That'll last a year.
Yeah, and it has a long, I mean...
We interrupt this regularly scheduled broadcast with breaking news from Escanaba in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. News 29 has just received word of an alien invasion of a peculiar kind. Giant alien ticks have just landed on the northern coast of Lake Michigan, just a few miles outside of Escanaba. Elements of law enforcement were immediately called in, but their pistols and other conventional weapons were useless against the giant alien ticks. Bullets just seem to bounce right off these creatures. The governor has declared a state of emergency and called in the National Guard. However, time is of the essence, as half the city of Escanaba has already been destroyed, and most of the population has contracted a rare strain of Lyme disease that appears to turn its victims lime green and addict them to Sundrop citrus soda drink. Let me talk to a few of the locals here to get their reaction. Little boy, can you tell me what happened here?
It was awful. The tick blew his nose, and it's all over me.
Yes, I can see that. It smells terrible.
I've been slimed by a giant alien tick.
Oh, let's get another story from this little girl. Little girl, what happened to you?
I'm turning green, and I don't have a thing to wear. How will I ever match this color?
Yes, ma'am, that is a problem. This is definitely going to hurt the summer tourist season. But wait, look! There's a man marching forward now. He's wearing a lime green t-shirt, and he has what appears to be a large tank on his back. It looks like a flamethrower. Sir, who are you? And what are you doing?
I'm the Tick Terminator. Now stand back while I take care of this abomination of nature.
The Tick Terminator is marching toward one of the giant ticks. He's pressed a button on his belt, and the pack on his back is all lit up. Now he's removed what looks like a fire hose from the tank on his back. He's aiming it at the monster now.
Prepare to meet your untimely demise, you demonic spawn of terrible tickly trepidation.
Stand back, everyone! The tick is opening his mouth! Oh no! He's ready to blow green chunks! But the Tick Terminator is fighting back.
Eat permethrin, you vile vermin from hell.
Oh, the humanity! He's driving the giant ticks back now. They are retreating back to the lakefront now as quickly as their little bug legs can carry them. They are crawling back into their spaceships. There's a terrible green ooze coming from their noses, and the smell is ghastly. Folks, look, I can't believe my eyes. The spaceships are taking off now and rocketing away into space. There they go, folks, flying away and into the outer atmosphere. The Upper Peninsula has been saved. Let's see if we can get a few words from the Tick Terminator. Jerry, where did he go? Ladies and gentlemen, the Tick Terminator is gone.
I'm gone for now, but I'll be back.
Well, I guess we know what happened to Brian, huh? Brian got called away on some emergency, up in the Escanaba. Brian got called away by the governor on an emergency. Wow. Brian Anderson, Brian the man, Brian the legend, the tickly legend. Thank God he was there to save the Upper Peninsula. Well, we'll have Brian on again, I'm sure. But for right now, we are out of time on segment 3 of the Home Defense Show. While we are away, go ahead and check out Brian's website, thetickterminator.com. thetickterminator.com. And go there with awesome fear and reverence. Get some of that permethrin. Also, check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical. And don't forget, CenterShotGunRange.com. Go to CenterShot Gun Range in Door, Michigan, where it's always a perfect 70 degrees. All right, take that 2-minute break while we're away. When we come back, I'll be giving you the wrap-up, and I'll tell you what I really think about those deadly, awesome ticks. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom. Skip, it's time for our Armed America report. We're going to do it a little different this week, aren't we?
Yeah, Colonel, I thought what we'd do today, I ran across a very interesting article. It's titled, Hero Army Vet Describes Looking into the Eyes of California Synagogue Shooter as He Rushed to Stop Him. I just thought, you know, that would be a really good article for us to talk about. There's a 51-year-old Iraq war veteran who fearlessly rushed the California synagogue during that shooting last week. I just thought, wow, that was just fantastic the way he did that.
Yeah, he was in the congregation. When the shooting started, he had the inclination to turn and run like everybody else was, but he stopped and turned around and basically charged the bad guy.
And he was totally unarmed.
Totally unarmed, but he had remembered that if you're close enough to someone with a firearm, rifle or pistol, you've got a few seconds before they can turn to you and get at action. And he was counting on that.
Well, you know, we can't really say the man's name is Oscar Stewart. We can't really say that he's totally unarmed because he had a warrior mindset.
Yes.
And he was armed with courage. I mean,
yes.
It takes a lot of courage to attack a man while he's carrying a high-powered rifle.
Who's planning to shoot you.
Yes, and he's already shot people.
Yes.
So, wow.
So, that guy was amazing, and apparently the cards were right, because When the shooter saw somebody attacking him, he fled.
Yes.
Unarmed guy coming at him.
I know. I was just blown away by the man's courage and also by the mass shooter's cowardice.
Yes.
I mean, to run away from a man based on a challenge command.
Yeah.
That's just awesome.
He ran out to get into his car. The guy chased him out there, was beaten on the door of his car.
Mm-hmm.
When a border patrolman who had also been in the service showed up with his weapon and told him to get out of the way.
Yeah, that's right. And then he shot the car 5 times. So, you know, actually 2 American military vets saved the day on that one, because who knows how many more people would have been killed,
yes,
wounded, if he hadn't fearlessly ran the guy down. My hat's off to this guy, Oscar Stewart, just an awesome guy.
If the very least we can do is salute him, he is an American hero.
That's for sure.
Hey, folks, I want to tell you about my new book, Concealed Carry for Christians. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and your family, and that includes people of faith. Our churches are not as safe as they used to be, and that's why I included chapters on forming church safety teams and stopping mass shooters. You can get Concealed Carry for Christians real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Concealed Carry for Christians, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Concealed Carry for Christians by yours truly, Skip Coriel. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. You know, the last couple minutes of that segment 3 probably threw you a little bit. There's always a backstory, isn't there? All right, here's the story. Why did I do that? Well, it has to do with technology, actually. I don't usually just hang up on my guest while I'm interviewing them. Brian and I, we were having a fantastic discussion, and we were about 2 minutes to the end, and then all of a sudden, my computer totally locked up. I mean, I didn't have a cursor. Everything just locked, and I lost my connection to the internet, which means I lost my ability to record the Home Defense Show. And, oh, it was so frustrating because the interview was going so well, and I know Brian had more to say, but, hey, technology is great when it works. Actually, that was about the 6th time this week that my computer locked up. I don't know why. I don't know if it's a virus, if it's a hardware problem or whatever, but I rebooted. It's running again. I'll run some diagnostic checks. You know, I may have to buy another computer. This one's about 6 years old, but man, these things are expensive. It cost me like close to $1,000 for this laptop that I have now, and it's not in the budget. So pray for my computer, okay? Maybe I'll bring in a priest. I'll bring in a Catholic priest, one of those exorcist guys, and he can lay hands on my computer and cast out the vile anti-gun demons. All right, aside from that, I'll just have to buy a new computer, I guess. But it is what it is. All right, I promised you, if we had time, I would read a portion of my book, Concealed Carry for Christians. And I am true to my word. I think what I'll do is I'll just read the introduction here from the author. I like this book. Well, what would you expect me to say? Yeah, I wrote this book and it really sucks. Don't buy this book. No, this book is awesome. You really should buy it. You should read it. Even if you're not a Christian, it doesn't matter. There's a lot of good stuff in here. You know, a lot of people, they have Judeo-Christian values, but they don't know they have Judeo-Christian values. I mean, do unto others you would have them do unto you. That's a Judeo-Christian value. So even if you're not a Christian, even if you're an atheist, I think you probably would enjoy this book, and you'd learn something and be entertained in the process, which is always a plus. All right, from the author. This will give you an idea of what the book is about. I started carrying a pistol almost 20 years ago, and I've been a member of a church safety team for about 15 years now. The church safety team is like other ministries in that we are serving the body of Christ, but there is one very distinct and important difference. It might get you killed. I've been a Sunday school teacher, even Sunday school superintendent. I've served on musical teams. I've been an usher. I've even helped in the children's ministry, where they expected me to dance up and down to silly songs while making ridiculous hand motions. Thank God there are no existing pictures for that one. It wasn't pretty. However, none of those jobs ever required me to take a bullet for the flock. As a Sunday school teacher, I was never expected to run towards gunshots while drawing my firearm. Most Sunday school teachers don't carry pepper spray. They don't practice open-handed skills to become proficient at taking a man to the ground and putting him in zip ties. They are not trained in the subtle arts of interrogation and visually identifying physical threats, like who is armed and who is not. It's a different kind of ministry requiring a different kind of Christian. However, all those concerns are not restricted to the church safety team because they apply to any Christian who decides to carry a gun. If you are considering carrying a gun or joining a church safety team, then this book is a must-read for you. You should not go into the job lightly, as there are many things to consider. 1. Can you take a human life? Killing a fellow human being is not and should not be a natural and easy thing to do. It should be tough. It may take years of prayer and study and self-reflection before you decide the answer. 2. Do you want to carry a gun? It's a nuisance, a total life change, and a bona fide pain in the butt. Carrying a gun dictates every facet of your life, how you treat others, what you wear, how you talk, and how you walk. It's not for everyone. 3. Are you willing to die to protect the ones you love? How about strangers? Will you die to protect someone you haven't even met yet? 4. Are you willing to spend lots of time and money on training and equipment? Less than 1% of the concealed carry population ever go on to take training that is not required by the government. That statistic should scare you. Buying a gun doesn't make you a gunfighter any more than buying a guitar makes you a rock star. We are called by God to excellence in everything we do. The gun is a powerful tool. The sacrifice you make could be supreme. It is a life or death decision. This book was written to empower and encourage Christians who decide to carry concealed. You are an elite core of individuals. You are warriors. Welcome to the club. All right. That gives you an idea of what that book is about. You know, primarily, when I wrote this book, I'm thinking, you know, what do I want to accomplish? What do I want this book to be about? You know, I'd already written Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry book, so I'd already educated you on concealed carry. But Christians have special concerns. A lot of them have to do with the moral use of deadly force. You know, as a concealed carry holder, you have to decide what is the legal use of deadly force. That's all written out for you in statutes, right? When am I legally justified in using deadly force? But not everyone thinks about the moral use of deadly force. When is it right? When is it wrong? What does God think about it? Well, it's all there in Concealed Carry for Christians. You know, if you've got someone on the fence, you know, a spouse or a loved one who doesn't really, they don't know if they want to carry concealed or they can't wrap their head around killing someone. You know what? It's okay to kill someone under certain conditions. It's okay with the government. It's okay with society. It's okay with God. But you have to get educated and you have to know when those times are, and you've got to be able to accept it for yourself. Because, you know, there are some times when it's immoral to not use deadly force. Think about that. If you don't understand that, buy the book, Concealed Carry for Christians, and you will figure it out. Better yet, hold off on buying that book. Come to Center Shot Indoor Gun Range, centershotgunrange.com. They're on Facebook. They're on the internet. Go ahead and find out about Patriots Day. It's next Memorial Day weekend. It's next Saturday, May 25, where I will be there from noon to 4. We are going to have a fantastic barbecue. The weather's going to be great.
I promise. And you can pick up a copy of Concealed Carry for Christians. I'll have my other 13 books there as well. It'll be $15. You can get a signed copy. I'll personally sign it for you, and we can have a good chat. I love these book signings simply because I get to be in touch with my listeners. I get to meet students who have taken my classes. There'll be an archery shoot for kids. There'll be the barbecue. There'll be firefighters. There'll be fire trucks. I think there are even going to be some Army guys there, maybe even some Marines to celebrate veterans. There'll be an ambulance. You name it. Going to be a great time. It'll be like the Sunday school picnic with guns. How much better can you get than that, right? Well, I am going to end the show early this week. Why? Because I've got it coming. I just do. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to pick another 5 pounds of white morel mushrooms, Morcella esculenta. I'm going to pick them all. I'll leave no one for anyone else. Scorched earth. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to pick all the mushrooms. I will salt the earth. I'll mash it down so no one else can have them. Actually, that's not true. If I did that, there would be none for me next year, right? But I will pick them all. I'm sorry. It's not personal. It's just business. I've got to get 25 pounds of mushrooms so that I can eat a half a pound a week until next mushroom season in the year 2020. That's my goal. I'm going to be out there. The weather's great. It's fantastic. And then I'll get started on a new book. Haven't decided if I'm going to write a novel yet. It's kind of a toss-up between my next novel, Jack Pine Courage, or I've got two ideas for nonfiction, one on concealed carry for retired people, that's us old folks, or concealed carry for church safety teams. So kind of a how-to on how to form a church safety team, how to train them, how to take out the mass shooter. If you guys have an opinion, send me your opinion, skipcoriel@hotmail.com. Just email me at skipcoriel@hotmail.com. I'm also on Facebook. Leave a comment or send me a private message. Don't forget Rick Ector next Sunday, May 19th. He's got his Legally Armed in Detroit event where he is going to introduce 900 Detroit women to guns. That's what Detroit needs. You can check him out at Rick Ector on Facebook. Just search on Rick Ector or Legally Armed in Detroit or Rick's Firearm Academy. It will pop right up there, and you can even go there. You don't have to be from Detroit. I'm thinking about going there. If he needs help, I will go over there, and I will help out with the instruction, but I'll check with Rick first. This is his event. Okay, we are out of time now. And I am going mushroom hunting. Don't hate me. It's not my fault. I know where they all are. Next week, we will have a Morcella event. I will tell you all about how to get these mushrooms, where to find them. No grid coordinates, but you will walk away after listening to next week's show a much better morel hunting champion. Well, okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember, your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America. Ooh, I'm going hunting, folks. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!